We had State Senator Bert Johnson on the program. His district is very interesting. I'm from near that area, but his district includes the Detroit Highland Park as well as the Grosse Pointe. And talk about diversity. I don't think it gets any more diverse than that. So, Senator, how are you?
I'm great, Tony. Seems like only yesterday.
Yeah, it does. You know, you said something, and I just couldn't get over it, and I wanted you to elaborate more. You said that you believe that there is an effort that basically Republicans sat down in the room, came up with an agenda on how to weaken, if not break up or and or dismantle, but weaken was the adjective that you used, unions right here in the state. And I wanted to make sure I heard that correct.
Right. Well, you did. And if you look at the efforts undertaken in Ohio and Wisconsin, where maybe it's been more overt, the union busting tactic, I think here what you recognize is that they haven't had to simply go out and try to bust the unions in an overt way. If you install rules that make an allowance for breaking collective bargaining agreements and that kind of thing, and then you implement them, as we're seeing across the state of Michigan, then effectively you've done that without being so overt about it. And in fact, it comes off as a more charismatic way of leading in that same vein, but doing it, you know, kind of under cloak of darkness.
Now, are you sure that the process of all the cuts, especially to social programs and the gains that businesses made, perhaps the product of this is the weakening of unions here in the state?
I'm sure of it. As a matter of fact, it doesn't take a whole lot to realize that Governor Rick Snyder is just a lot smarter than most of the Tea Party-backed people across the country. He's done it in a way, Tony, and he hasn't had to be so brash about it because he's had serious majorities in both the House and the Senate, and it has allowed him to, even though he's had some public sparring back and forth with his own Republican counterparts, it's allowed him to give them a little space to operate, but at the same time move his progressive agenda in his manner, in his way, and it hasn't been to the benefit of citizens across the state.
So you don't think it's paranoia?
I do not think it's paranoia at all. As a matter of fact, when you examine the facts, it's very clear. There has been a concerted effort to not just weaken the union base, but to also extract money from those who are probably in the least able position to provide that money to state government. And that money has really been handed over. I'm not one of those folks who likes to just utilize all the standard punditry and echo everything that's heard, but you know, I can't avoid my understanding of what is real, and that is that people are paying, footing the bill for large special interests and corporate benefactors, and that's just, those are the facts.
Is that going to change in 2012?
Well, I think it won't necessarily change as a mantra in 2012. What I do think you'll see is, because both the State House and the President of the United States are up for re-election, you will see sort of a laying back, if you will, and the foot will come off the pedal a little bit. You won't have so much of a dynamic move towards these things. And frankly, they've done most of what they've wanted to do to set themselves up for the future anyway. But in an election year, you always see the policy scaled back just a little bit because of politics.
Now, I don't want to sound naive, but I guess I just find it a little hard to believe that some administrative folks got together with some Republican Party folks, and they sat down and had a cup of coffee over the course of time and said, okay, we're going to do this and this and this, and this is what's going to happen, and this will get rid of those darn unions.
Well, think of it like this. You look at the gains that the Democrats made across the country, sweeping gains. We won every election virtually in 2008, and the Barack Obama election was a movement. Well, that was much to the ire of Republicans and their counterparts and their benefactors. And if we don't believe that they sat down, had a very cogent discussion, and it emanated all the way out of Washington across the nation, and that they put together their money and their package of policy and decided that they were going to take back, in their estimation, their country, then we're fooling ourselves. This election in 12 can, in fact, be a referendum on some of the things that we've seen coming out of the Republican ranks, and it can be a turning back of the tide. Now, we have to begin with taking back the House, but you look at things like the deep cuts to revenue sharing, which equals more fiscal strains on an already struggling city or school district, deep cuts to K-12 student aid fund, which equals more fiscal strains on already struggling school districts. All of that stuff leads to these financial reviews by the state, which is the first step in appointing emergency managers, stronger emergency manager laws equal the ability to unilaterally break union contracts. And when you look at the way that these rules are being carried out, and the first thing to do is to go after those contracts, one has to obviously conclude that that was the plan from the get-go.
All right, but we wouldn't even be dealing with this if Jennifer Granholm would have accomplished some of the things that needed to be accomplished. We wouldn't be in this predicament should the Democrats have won the House and Senate. And we certainly wouldn't be in this predicament if Barack Obama, I guess, from job one would be to create jobs around the country.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. On the Granholm front, one has to realize that Jennifer Granholm didn't even have the kind of legislature that would consider her policies until her second term, and that was when the state house came back to Democratic control. Barack Obama, on the other hand, went in and he had the majority in both houses, but then something supernatural happened when we lost Teddy Kennedy, and things began to shift exponentially, and then you know what happened in 2010. I guess what I'm saying, Tony, is both of those Democrats have had to deal with legislatures that are bifurcated and not 100% in their direction. In the instance that this new governor has both chambers of the House and Senate, he has more cards to play, and he's played them skillfully to the extent that he's been able to get what he wants.
Well, all Democrats have to do is vote their guy into office, and the voters spoke and said, the Democratic candidates, I don't think they can get it done.
Well, that's why I love your show, Tony, and that's why I love how you juxtapose the conversation, because that's true. I mean, there was an old adage that was said that you use the ballot or the bullet. Well, in this instance, we have to use the ballot. And Democrats, in fact, did not go to the polls and did not vote their interest. And this is what you get. Elections do, in fact, have consequences. On the flip side of that, I continue to look at the glass as half full. And so we have an opportunity in 12 to turn it back just a little bit. I believe Barack Obama will duly be reelected. And I think that we can sort of set a course for doing some of the smarter things that were promised by not just him, but by most of the Democrats who ran over the last 4 years. So we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, exactly. You said the key thing. He promised something 4 years ago, and he really hasn't delivered it. And let's take everything off the table. The jobs thing and the economy is the big, big thing, and he's had 4 years. And here
You're right. You're right. Barack Obama has had 3.5 going into 4 years of a real term to do something about the jobs problem. But I'll tell you what, between having to deal with a couple wars, and thank God he's brought one leg of the war by extracting our troops from Iraq to a close, and that's going to happen by the end of this year. He's had to deal with the housing crisis. He's had to deal with the auto industry crisis. And I give it to the guy. I wouldn't want his job today. Tony, he's had to do more work than any other president in a short, protracted period of time. Than we've probably ever seen across the nation. And the guy has had a lot of things to deal with. This economy, I don't care who was president, whether it was John McCain or Barack Obama, was going to continue to tank mainly on the backs of a poor housing market that was imploding. We saw large-scale scandals come to bear on people, working people, middle-class people, and that kind of thing was not going to, that thing didn't care who was president and whether they were Republican or Democrat. So on the jobs front, I think the nation's job, the economic outlook is getting better. We have come down on the unemployment scale. People are going back to work. The manufacturing sector has ramped up again. And, you got to pay kudos to where they're due. Do we have more work to do? Yes. Do I think he's the right man for the job? Absolutely.
All right. Well, I would say, to be fair, the president hasn't got it done on the job front, but neither has this current administration and the legislative members of the Senate and the House. We need more jobs in the state of Michigan. Before we go, what's going to happen in 2012 to turn this around?
Well, what I hope happens in 2012 from a people standpoint is that our citizens in this state recognize a couple of real things. We rode the wave of having the auto sector in our own backyard for decades. That is now gone and has morphed into something else. So we're going to have to submit ourselves to further education, new training modules, and we're going to have to, lasso down some of these brand-new industries that are taking root in the state of Michigan. The other thing is that I hope folks vote their interest. I want everybody to get out and be present in the ballot box to have their voices heard. That, in turn, makes more elected officials accountable to the people that do vote. And the last thing that I hope happens is that both the president and the legislature in Congress we realize that people do count and that policies have to support people and not entities like corporate entities only. These super PACs, they need to go away. We need to repeal some of those rules. Got a lot of work to do, Tony.
Yeah, I wonder how many voters are like me. I guess I want my cake and eat it, too. I don't want to see funding for schools a cut, but I also want to see businesses thrive, and I want to see jobs in the state. I just want my cake and eat it, too, and it doesn't seem like that's possible.
I think we all do, and in order to make that happen, we've got to just face some basic truths. We're going to have to restructure some governments, like you're seeing in the city of Detroit. We're going to have to make some real, honest decisions about what cities should be in the business of providing. The state has to continue to be an umbrella for cities to be under and to help them thrive. And the federal government is going to have to kind of stand back and make states stronger while at the same time pushing some of the real rules that make states better. So to the extent that I'm in that fight and I've been elected, I'm actually going to stand with folks and make those decisions. I know you'll continue to do your job and get the information out. It's why I appreciate your show.
Well, I appreciate you, Senator. State Senator Burt Johnson, really like his district because he deals with a menagerie of people from Detroit and Grosse Pointe area. Very interesting. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Tony. Have a great day.